Welcome to the Humanity Matters podcast, where we discuss and reflect on faith and philosophy, leadership and social issues. We want to engage in ideas and what it means to be a free human being in the pursuit of human flourishing. For more information, please visit our website, philipfletcher.org. And now, the Humanity Matters podcast. That's good too.
Out of space.
So, question: is LeBron James and his net worth of $1 billion, is he deserving of that? Is Beyonce and her net worth of over $400 million, is she deserving of that?
The way she was dancing her tushies, she was tired.
Is that basketball player, who's played for 20 years, all-time leading scorer? Three championships or four? I forget.
Four.
Still not better than Kobe. All right. His net worth of $1 billion. Is he deserving of that $1 billion? Is Beyonce, member of Destiny's Child, solo member, all her albums, stuff like that. Yeah. Is she deserving? Is she entitled to that entire net worth of $400 million. We're not even bringing her husband into this equation. All right. Is he, Jay-Z, entitled to all that money? So, we are looking at Rawls, John Rawls, Robert Nozick. John Rawls, a social liberal. Robert Nozick would be considered a libertarian. And their theory of justice regarding what is the fair distribution of benefits, but also harm in a society. So, two perspectives we're going to look at, all right, as we move forward. All right, one is the process view, and the other is the end state view. Keep in mind, again, a LeBron James, a Beyonce, a Jay-Z, a Barack Obama, Michelle Obama, Oprah, your parents, your grandma. Is there a fair distribution, a just distribution of benefits? So the process view, so that's the first thing we should pay attention to, all right? So we have to consider that the distribution of goods, wealth, material, all right? That's justified if it's arrived at in a just way. Now, last week we looked at the whole thing about land, right? And that whole thing. And we had this whole discussion about if the six of us created a society and each of us did a thing, you know, how did we arrive at it? DeMarcus had all the special rocks, right?
Rich.
I had the water, access to water, right? Yeah. So the process view states that it's just if the means at which I arrived at that final outcome was just. So implied, I'm not robbing somebody. I'm not defrauding somebody. I have conducted a fair exchange with Kate. She has received something. I have received something. The key here in the process view, the burden of proof is on the process. We're interrogating the process. Was everything from step A to step Z, was it just? Was it right? All right. Now, the other view is what's called the end state view. Now, that's not looking at the process. They're looking at the outcome. So you may be an individual who's saying, no, a just outcome is on the basis of just steps, process view. Or you could possibly be somebody who's like, no, I'm not concerned about the process. I'm concerned about the outcome, the end state. So the burden of proof, who do you think it lies on then in a society? those who have much or those who have little? Those who have much. Why so?
They in the society, they gonna be the ones that's mainly contributing to, you know, how the economy flows. Mm. If they put too much into the economy, or if they have a lot of money and they not putting enough of it into the economy, it's eventually gonna break down. Mm. So they can't rely on those who have little to keep the economy going, because they don't have what it takes to keep the economy.
Okay. All right.
Can you repeat the question for me?
Yeah, sure. So in the process view, the burden of proof of justice, of whether the outcome was right, the burden of proof is on the process, all right? For the end state, the burden of proof is on looking at the outcomes. Now, in that distribution, you're going to have those who got a lot and those who got not as much. So who has to prove whether or not the outcome was right?
Well, I would like to say it would be people that have less, because I feel like they would be more accurate in the depiction of the actual process.
How so?
Because I don't feel like they would lie about that. I don't feel like they would like hide any details of how the outcome came. But I feel like a lot of people with a lot of money and a lot of power, because money is power. And society, they like to go around the rules and hide that.
Okay. So Caden is then arguing that the burden of proof is on those who got much, right? Because they would have to prove that the accumulation of whatever, their widgets, their pins, the accumulation of their pins, example, was achieved not through lying, not through manipulation or defrauding, but again, it was done justly, right? All right. So there are those who are called like radical egalitarians, right? Persons who are in the pursuit, a hyper pursuit of equality, equal outcomes, all right? Equal opportunities, the whole shebang. Now, for them, they're looking at humans are more important than the differences. So if we have all of these differences, right, we need to take steps to rectify the differences in order that the humans are flourishing. All right? Now, again, this is under the end state view. Who's heard of Karl Marx? All right. What do you know about Karl Marx?
I just heard the name.
Karl Marx. Okay. So Karl Marx wrote a couple of books. One, him and a guy named Friedrich Engels wrote a book called Das Kapital. And it's basically a defense of communism. But in order to get to communism, there is this process of moving to through socialism. All right. Now, he famously said, from each according to their ability, to each according to his or her need. All right. So based off of your ability, let's look at LeBron James. LeBron James' ability to put a ball in the basket is greater than say something controversial here. LeBron James' ability to put a basketball in a hole is greater than Jason Tatum's.
I don't know who the people is.
It's not ridiculous to say.
Okay, all right, so it's not ridiculous to say. All right, let's come your way, DeMarcus.
Don't try it. I don't know them
both people. No, I'll be a little controversial. Denzel Washington's ability to act is greater than John David Washington's ability to act. Mm-hmm. All right? So, Denzel and his son, right? So, Marx would look at a Denzel Washington, he would look at a LeBron James and said, because you have a higher ability, and as such, you're able to produce a greater economic impact, right? You are going to offer more to the society, right? Whereas a Jason Tatum or a John David Washington would, in comparison, offer less. You following me?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So that's from each according to his or her ability, to each according to their need. So who would receive then more in that society? So let's go back to your example. So if there are individuals who are producing more, right? Those are the more wealthier people, right? Also in the society are those individuals who are not producing as much by implication. So Marx would say a Travis who is producing a lot, Kane who's producing a lot, they're going to put more on the table, but a Philip and a DeMarcus and a Mr. Gibbs are going to take more off of the table on the basis of need, right? So DeMarcus's need may be greater than Mr. Gibbs because DeMarcus has got 20 kids, whereas Mr. Gibbs has none.
Yeah.
Right?
Please give it to me.
20
shit.
What would I do?
Well, hey.
Y'all got the same woman?
Nah.
Yeah. Oh, a couple of triplets or twins or something.
20 kids.
So all that to say, Marx is saying from each according to his or her ability, to each according to his or her need. This is how distributive justice could occur. So those who are highly skilled are putting more on the table. Those who are not as skilled, but according to their need, are taking on the basis of their need off of the table. Okay? So, a great experiment. Let's answer this question. Is LeBron James entitled to his net worth of $1 billion?
Yes.
No. Yes.
Talk about it. I'm going to let y'all play with it. We'll start here.
No. If I say what I want.
No, that's the class. This is the class.
It's something way deeper than that.
Well, let's go. I'll pick it out.
I ain't gonna see it.
So you're in the... He's not deserving.
Nah.
Okay, lay your case.
Okay. I don't want to say it.
Go ahead. That's what this class is for.
That nigga in the Illuminati.
Okay.
That's what I think.
Okay.
That's why he's in the position he is now. Because he, you know, not it.
Okay.
He don't deserve all that money, bro. I mean, he don't deserve all that money. Like, if he was not to take the money, he wouldn't be in the position he is now.
So you're saying it's not on the basis of his skill that he's accumulated all that wealth?
I mean, he good, but how much he got to think about it.
At
least a billion.
He ain't a billion good.
He got contract, he got shoe deal, he got Sprite commercial,
exactly.
He got State Farm, he got...
Why you think he got all that?
Because
y'all don't want that.
Okay, so, Miss...
You get more opportunity.
No.
I go all day, but...
Okay, so, let's parse this apart. So, Mr. Gibbs is saying, on the basis of his skill alone, is he entitled to the billion, net worth of a billion? Okay. Who... takes the opposite.
Me.
Okay.
Right.
Go ahead.
I believe that he's entitled to the money because he worked for it. He started. And you could say, oh, he was in the Illuminati. Well, he worked to get into the Illuminati.
Exactly.
So he's entitled to it. Everything that he has is from him. He deserves it. He's entitled to it.
Oh, now, yeah, because he's in the... Okay.
It might not be... I'm not going to say that. It's not... You know, there are some people that believe people with a lot of money should be more willing to give back to people that like don't have as much, but they aren't entitled to do that either. They don't have to. So,
okay, you're getting ahead of yourself because that's next week with objectivism.
Okay.
Yes, a good argument. Travis, what say you?
I'm just gonna say it all depends because the amount of money you make depends on your replaceability, I think.
And okay.
It's not a lot of LeBron James in the world. So,
of course.
Yeah, he deserves that money because he LeBron James.
Everybody knows who he is.
Everybody, you got to think of how much money he brings to the NBA, how much money he put back into the world, how
and
much
why
money
you think,
he
gives. Why do you think he's doing it?
We're not talking about
it. We'll get there. No, I'm going to pick that up, but we'll get there. All right, go ahead.
But it's just, I think he deserves nothing because of, like I said, what he brings to the NBA, what he puts back out into the community, what he gets in terms of shoe deal, what he gets in terms of all these deals. He deserves it.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. So, we have LeBron James sitting out there doing what he does, going into his 20th year, puts a ball in the hole. Most points in the NBA, top 10, a lot of other statistical categories. All right. Now another layer, which could complicate moving it from a process view, calling it into question, to those who say, no, we need to pay more attention to the outcomes. All right. So Mr. Gibbs is saying the process is not just. Because there's a privilege that is involved, right? Now, you have to identify the privilege as the Illuminati. So it's not just his skill that has garnered him the net worth of a billion, but in addition to that skill, a secret society, right? All right. So Mr. Gibbs is making the argument because of the presence of that secret society, the means of the accumulation or the outcome is not just. Whereas if it was a Jason Tatum, who just for argument's sake can dribble, yeah, right? Can shoot a ball, right? Has gone to an NBA championship, has not won, but has gone to one, right? Has the same opportunity as LeBron James, arguably. But that opportunity for LeBron James to earn more money is heightened because of the Illuminati. Okay. So, is anybody now persuaded by Mr. Gibbs' argument?
No.
How so?
Because you have to have the skill first to get to the Illuminati. Right?
Okay.
Exactly. He was good.
So Jason Tatum has the skill, correct?
But he got better. He get more opportunity.
But Jason Tatum has the skill.
He just not as high as LeBron.
The argument that he's finna make is that every player in the NBA is in the Illuminati.
Yeah.
And we had this conversation.
Do I need to show y'all proof similes and all that?
You don't need to.
I got it.
Okay, so question is.
Talking about these track runners.
Yeah, so question is, the question that I would have for Mr. Gibbs, then why is not the outcome the same for all basketball players if they have the same privilege?
Because it's higher ups to the process. Okay, Illuminati, it's different. Okay, just say, let's just take, what's his name? Okay, Bill Gates.
Okay.
He up there.
Right.
Okay, Oprah or Tyler Perry or something like that.
Okay.
They probably like right here.
Okay.
LeBron somewhere in the mix.
Okay.
It's levels to it. Like.
But we're just keeping it on the NBA right now.
Okay.
Yeah,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
it's
levels to it.
Okay.
Stephen Curry.
He up there with.
So why he not a billionaire?
They naked. So he not a billionaire?
No, Stephen Curry is not a billionaire.
Let's look it up.
Stephen Curry's net worth is around $400 million.
All right. As he's looking it up. All right. Again.
460.
It's only one NBA player that's a billionaire.
Okay.
Who they is? LeBron
James.
Exactly. Higher ups.
He's not even the best person in the NBA right now.
Levels. Okay, he literally just said it. He just proved my point. He's not the best player in the NBA, but he getting all this.
Because that's what everybody knows.
Higher ups.
No.
Higher ups.
He got commercials, shoes. They ain't got no shoes.
Exactly.
Who the best person right now?
Okay, so Mr. Gibbs, so we're accepting then that an individual can, two different individuals can have the same opportunity.
Yes.
Right?
But due to the behind the scenes, the other person go get.
But there are other factors at play. There are other factors at play that while the two different individuals have the same opportunity, they have different outcomes.
Right.
Okay. So, again, remember this, the process view, the burden of proof is on the process. If the means of the process are just, right, then the outcome is just. Whereas with the end state view, it's looking at the distribution of the outcome and the emphasis on the human being rather than the differences. And if there are differences, corrections need to be made for the human being. Now, a lot of what y'all talk about with the process view, three things in consideration: merit, effort, contribution. So let's go back to, now let's shift gears. Beyonce and Taylor Swift.
Two different levels.
Okay. But some would argue both belong to the
Illuminati.
Okay. All right.
Especially Beyonce. Whew.
All right. Now,
what'd she say?
Does anybody know Taylor Swift's net worth? Somebody look it up.
I just looked up and it said Michael Jordan, his net worth is
$3 billion. You know how many people wear Jordan?
Is his dad alive?
Yeah.
Michael Jordan dead alive?
I don't know. That man dad is
alive. Hey. Keep it on.
Taylor Swift's net worth is $740 million.
$740 million. And somebody verify Beyonce's. What is her net worth?
Beyonce.
$540 million? Okay. All right. So we got 7-5. All right. Beyonce been in the game longer. Right? Mm-hmm. Taylor Swift got the greater net worth. Now, looking artistically, who has made the greater contribution?
Beyonce.
How so?
She got Destiny's Child. She worked with Jay-Z. She got music with Nicki Minaj. Kanye West.
Yo, what happened to Kanye?
Keep going.
I ain't gonna say that.
She got, I said Destiny's Child already. Mm-hmm.
She just got a better impact.
Then she, some of her music, it come back in trends.
Okay.
Got the little TikTok dance. Now she got the little mute challenge, Then I think she do more tours. And
so the argument you made, she has a greater cultural influence than Taylor Swift, right? Effort. Will we say both of their effort is the same?
No. I don't think Taylor Swift took the effort to learn how to dance.
Is that necessary for the type of music she does?
Some of them, but most of it.
Okay. All right. What about, so then we get to merit. Are each of them deserving of what they're earning?
Yeah.
The argument could be made, this is not my argument, but a lot of people feel like with a lot of Caucasian skinned artists is that they are in that position because of their Caucasian colored skin.
Okay, and then the counter argument then is what though? Because it's music.
You don't have to listen.
The counter argument is.
Yeah.
It's like music is black people dominated. Is that what you mean?
There's an argument to be made. There is an argument to be made. But then, like Caden said, if one doesn't listen to it, one doesn't purchase it, it doesn't really matter the skin color.
Yeah.
But, since it's like, 70% of America is white.
Right. But the most listened to music is what? Rap and hip hop. I'm just saying there could be another factor at play. Yes. So here are words, pay attention to. Equal opportunity. What are we talking about? So when two different individuals have a fair shot to secure income, wealth, or goods. Now, I think we did this before. Mississippi? DeMarcus, what state are you from?
Arkansas.
Arkansas. Kay, what state you from?
Arkansas.
Arkansas. All right, what part of Arkansas?
Camden.
Caden, what part of Arkansas?
Wilson.
Where's that?
By Osceola.
Where's that?
By Blauvel.
Where's that?
Got it. Northeast. Near Memphis, all that?
Yeah.
Okay, all right, got it. What part of Mississippi?
Tutwiler.
And the large city next to it is what?
Large. Okay. All right. Oh yeah. No. Yeah.
Greenville.
Horn Lake.
Larger than that.
The largest, closest to that, that's larger would be Wood James.
Okay. Yeah. So Jackson. Okay. All right. Okay. So, question is this: do each one of you? Mr. Gibbs, Travis, do you have equal opportunity? You come from the same city.
Yeah, I think we have equal.
Somewhat, yeah.
Oh, you said somewhat. I said the same.
I think, yeah.
At every level, you have the same opportunity.
No, he got two parents. He got two parents in the house. I got one. Well, I got two now, but I got one.
So, did you have equal opportunity?
No.
Did you take the same classes in high school?
Yeah. Some of them, yeah. Well, yeah, we took out. Yeah, we did.
Okay. All right. Camden, how big was your high school?
I went to high school in Little Rock. I went to Parkview.
Oh, you did?
Mm-hmm.
How big is it?
Big.
Is it bigger than Central?
No. Probably smaller than
Central.
What was your graduating class?
Like
400, 500. Wow, that's cool. Mine was like 1,000.
What
do
you
mean? California.
Okay. How big was your high school? 200.
That was my
graduating class.
I didn't know it was a lot.
Now, we have four people from two different states.
I think I have three.
Right? Two of you came from the same city. Two of you did not. All right? In one city, two of you grew up with one-parent household, the other two-parent household. For those in Arkansas, one-parent or two-parent household? DeMarcus?
Two.
Okay.
Until 2018, I had two, but then I had one from then on.
But for the majority of your life, you had a... two parent household.
How old was I in 2018?
That was 5 years ago.
Woo! I was 13.
Okay. All right. So, equal opportunity, it presupposes there's a lack of barriers. All right. So, the question becomes, did you have, the four of you have an equal opportunity that got you here? So, there's two different types of theories. All right, again, you might want to write these down. One is the starting gate theory. All right? Starting gate theory. So what does that mean is that individuals have an equal start in life and possess equal chances. Is that word equal? But it also takes into consideration that special aid is given to those who have a disadvantage. So, applying the starting gate theory to the four of you, who would be considered having the disadvantage?
Yeah.
All right? So the starting gate theory would then argue that Mr. Gibbs would get special aid to address the quote-unquote lack or deficiency that was not experienced by the other three. Now, the alternative is the sufficient theory. Equality is not the goal. What's the goal is this, is the four of you asking yourself, do I have the means to achieve my goals? Are those means adequate? So even if I had a one-parent household or a two-parent household, or if I had a 400 class high school or a 200 class high school. Or how big was your class in Mississippi?
When you go speak on.
How big?
It was small. Just
38. Yeah. So look at that. We've gone from 38 to 200 to 400. All right. Did a class of 38 have sufficient means? Did a class of 200? Did a class of 400? Did each one of those classes have sufficient means to achieve your goals? How would you answer that?
I can't remember. I'm gonna see how many people graduated.
Are we comparing it to, like?
It was
218.
Girl, how do you find it?
My transfer.
Compare it to your classmates.
I didn't know.
Do you have sufficient means? You don't think you have sufficient means? Okay.
I feel like with a school that big, they have more resources. They can offer more in terms of pay to teachers that make teachers not want to leave.
Mm-hmm.
They have more, I don't say more, better classes that prepare you for college. They have more prepared, I said that already, but more prepared teachers, more equipment, and just better everything all around.
Okay. All right. So here's some critiques. One, equal opportunity. The argument is it's a threat to democracy because it's a focus on individualism. All right. And then there's also a focus on meritocracy. So what is prioritized is the individual and his or her merits, their efforts and their contributions, rather than looking at, let's look at this outcome. We've got this group of individuals, this set number of characteristics. They are outside of the distribution. What is it that we need to do to move them with inside the distribution? How would this be just? So we've got a whole host of NBA players who are outside the billion-dollar range. Is that just? Why should LeBron James be entitled to his $1 billion? Shouldn't anybody else? Maybe LeBron James should redistribute his $1 billion so that others can make more. Is that right? Even if part of the means of him achieving that $1 billion is through the Illuminati. What do you think? Should we go to the NBA Players Association and demand that anybody making over a $500 million have to redistribute that to other NBA players? Why?
It's their money. If I was making that much money, I'm not gonna lie, I might give a little back, but it still would be mine. And I feel like I would be the only person that's entitled to that money because I worked for it. And I made the contracts, and I made the shoes, and I did this and did that.
Okay.
Regardless of if it was with the Illuminati or not.
Okay. Travis?
Yeah.
It's because, like, the NBA, that's still a job, technically. So if we did that with the NBA, we'd have to do it with other jobs, and which would mean that if I make more than this person at this company, I'll be, you know, kind of inclined to do the same thing as a LeBron James.
Mm.
If somebody were to make that argument.
Mm. Okay. Anybody else?
That's like saying if you work at Walmart and you're not making as much as the person who created Walmart, or not created Walmart, but like somebody real high up in the Walmart industry, that's saying a bunch of them are going to get together and say, we need more money. Walmart is not about to pay you no more money. Walmart does not care.
Just like the NBA is not about to pay no more money to people that's not LeBron James.
That's what I'm saying. Oh, okay. Different people offer different things. So mm-hmm. Not everybody's going to be LeBron James.
Mm-hmm. So are we admitting that are we admitting at some level, at some point, that there's going to be the existence of a unequal distribution?
Mm-hmm. There is.
Okay. So, for Rawls and Nozick, so Nozick would be considered a libertarian. So a libertarian basically holds that there is little to no intervention by an outside entity or the state, the government. All right? And so a libertarian would raise his or her hand and say, no, keep your hands off of LeBron James, Taylor Swift's, Caden's money. Even if Caden is making $30,000 a year. She is entitled to that because of her contribution, because of her effort, and because she's deserving of it because she worked for it. All right? So, Nozick proposes what's called a night watchman approach, where essentially the state, these outside entities, the government, acts only to protect individuals so that they can make either $30,000 or $1 billion. And they are deserving of that. And that individual, whether they're $30,000 or $1 billion, they determine the distribution of their goods. Okay? Now, this is what we call the entitlement approach. I'm entitled to this on the basis of merit, on the basis of my effort, or basis of my contribution. Now, Rawls stands up and says, again, he's got his veil of ignorance that we talked about. There's a difference principle in that there should be some mechanism in place to address those human beings who are struggling, all right, so that they can achieve their particular goals. Now, they got some agreement, John Rawls and Robert Nozick. Both of them have a shared view of justice. Justice is king. How can we pursue what is right, what is good for the basis of human beings? Now, their approach is different. Nozick says, hey, voluntary. Rawls says, we need some intervention. All right? There is some level of redistribution, but that redistribution is really focused on the needs of the really disadvantaged in society. So think about those who are handicapped or physically handicapped or mentally handicapped. Those individuals who do not have the skill or the capability to contribute to society. All right. But then the question is, and we'll get to this, what responsibility do you as an individual or society have to those individuals? All right. So, in review, we'll get out of here. What is this idea of distributive justice? Is a theory of justice concerned with the fair distribution of benefits and harms within a society. It's three different perspectives. You got the process view, you got the end state view, you got equal opportunity. For the process view, it is the burden of proof is on the process, the steps, to determine whether or not it's a just outcome. For the end state view, it is looking at the outcome, and if there's any inequality in the outcome, the human being is preferred over the differences and adjustments need to be made. And then there's equal opportunity. Individuals have the equal chance with little to no barriers and should arrive at a particular outcome. Now, in there, there's two different approaches to that. One is the starting gate theory, right? And in the starting gate theory, everybody starts basically with the same in life, all right? And then the other theory, let's get my mind right now, quickly. sufficient theory? Do I have the adequate means to achieve my goals? All right. So that is dealing with economic inequality, Rawls and Nozick. All right. On Thursday, we will review. Hey, if you found something of value, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Find us on Facebook at Dr. Philip Fletcher. Find us on Twitter at Phil Fletcher. And as always, visit us on the website philipfletcher.org.